Hello.
And welcome back to the Bible Study Girl podcast. This is Sarita, but you probably know me as Bible Study Girl. And I'm just a girl with something to offer the world. The first voice you heard on this podcast was the voice of the executive producer, Bible Study Brother.
What's good, people? It is I, Bible Study Brother, but I am also known as Icarus Gray over at Gray Area Anime. And this is the most wonderful podcast of your day. And as my sister often likes to say, we are actually biological brother and sister, share a mother. We're not just brothers and sisters in Christ. For those of you who may be listening to this for the first time.
You finished?
That is all.
Okay, that was your fade out. I wasn't sure. I like have to get some time.
BibleStudyGirl.com. You guys should go. Oh, sorry.
See? Also, I just want to brag on myself for a minute because once you press record, I realized that I hadn't pulled up my prompt sheet to let me know what I was supposed to say at the beginning. And I remember. Amen. Amen. He's an on-time God.
Yes, he is.
An on-time God.
Sorry.
I just didn't have time with the laptop. I was like, I'm going to lose it all. So anyway, we're here. We're back. I'm super excited about our guest today. I am going to allow for
applause is going on. Applause.
You know, the applause rain there. You know we can't hear the sound.
It's a Zoom thing. It's Zoom's problem.
Okay, well, Zoom.
Fix yourself.
Can I talk?
Yeah, you can talk. Go ahead.
Okay. I didn't know if it was still the applause. No, you know, you have to wait for the crowds to die down.
They die.
Okay. So we have a very special guest today. Super excited about it. You know, I've been telling y'all that I really want to hear from you. I want to talk to you about your faith journeys and what your relationship with Christ is looking like in a real way, not in a fake way. And so I have started to, I mean, I'm not big on this, but I've started to solicit people to come talk to me. Because I want you to hear other stories other than mine, other than Bible Study Brothers, other than Bible Study Mama. We're spending the Bible Study Girl universe. And so our special guest today is Kiana. Kiana, we know each other through church. We went to church together. And so it's always interesting to, now, when I first met Kiana, she was a teenager, but she's a grown woman now with like, she got life going on for real. So it's going to be interesting just to hear about her faith journey and how she's matured over the years in her walk with Christ. I think now would be a perfect time for applause because we're going to open the floor and I'm going to give Kiana the opportunity to introduce herself. She's going to have to unmute because it won't let me.
Okay. Hey, everybody. I'm Kiana. Let's see. I am, how am I? 28 years old. I work at the hospital. I love helping people. That's my calling in life. It looks okay right now. I'm trying to change the way it looks. But that's what I do. I have a 9-month-old baby girl named Carson. And so I'm a full-time mama. And I am a full-time churchgoer. A lot. I am a youth leader and a member of the choir at Greater 3-4 Missionary Baptist Church. That's really me. I don't do anything else outside of being a mama and going to work and going to church. So that's me in a nutshell.
That's you in a nutshell, Kiana. So have you been in church all your life? That's what you do? That's who you are?
That's what I do. I think I started going to church when I was real young because I don't even remember. I just remember that my great-grandma used to make us wear dresses and them tights. And so that's all I've known my whole life. It really was a choice because my mom didn't go to church like that. She sent us, but she didn't go that often when I was younger that I remember. So that's what I did. I went to church. Those were my friends. That was my whole life. Saturdays, Sundays, Wednesdays, I was in church.
In church, yes, and that is where we met. And y'all, I've told y'all before, I stay in church all the time. So even once I got grown, I mean, church was still my life and still is. Not as much as it was when I knew Kiana, because I was in church.
Yeah, you was in church.
Every day. Every day I was at the church house. So it has reduced it. You definitely have that in common. Do you remember what made you decide that you were ready to get baptized?
It's actually a really crazy story. So I was going to church, and I have been going to church forever, but it was Communion Sunday. And I was in children's church, and they went around and gave communion to everybody. And so I was with my twin. I was like, sister, we need to get communion too. And she was like, yeah, let's get it. So then we got communion, and it was a little boy. And he was like, you know, you're not going to take it unless you're baptized. I said, what you mean? And he was like, if you take it, you're going to go to hell. And so I went home, and I asked my mama. Mama, this boy told me I was going to hell. I don't even know what hell is for real. You need to explain to me why I can't eat this cracker and juice. So my mama kind of explained to me like what it meant, what communion was, and I knew who Jesus was, but I didn't get the why communion was so important, why I had to accept him in order to partake in communion. And so my family tried to explain to us and talk to us about it. And so then I was like, you know what, I believe in it, man. He sounded like a pretty good dude. And so I think it was a few Sundays after that. And me and my twin, we walked up there and decided we wanted to get baptized. And so I was about, I don't know, 8 or 9. And so because the boy told me I was going to hell, I had to learn about Jesus for real, for real. And figure it out.
I didn't know you and your twin got baptized together.
Same time.
That's a sweet story. So, like I said, when I met you, you were a teenager in church, and I could tell you were churchy. You were a churchy teenager.
I was. It was crazy.
Definitely a churchy teenager, honey. Like, in the choir. Because we didn't really, at our church, we didn't really have, like, a youth choir. Like, if you were young and you wanted to sing, you sang with the adults. I mean, the church was not that large in size, so like get on up here and sing with these grown people if you want to sing every Sunday. So
yeah, I wanted to sing with everybody, the youth, the big choir. I was gonna sing.
Yeah, so you are definitely very, very active in church. So think back to your teenage years. What is your relationship with Christ like, right? So you know, when you get baptized, a lot of time when you're younger, you really don't understand. Do you think you had a better understanding as a teenager? Like, what is that relationship looking like?
Well, after I got baptized, my pastor now, but he wasn't my pastor then. Gary Austin, he had a youth group called Champs. And so he really like instilled the what is Jesus to me in me, because he answered all my questions. It was not a question that I had that he wouldn't answer. So I never felt judged. But even though I was younger, you know, you go through stuff, but it ain't the same as grown up going through stuff.
Yeah, it's not.
So I
but
really,
at that time, it'd be serious.
It was dead serious, because baby, Jesus was life. He saved me. So I just, you know, I didn't have a reason to doubt Jesus or God being who I learned him to be. Mm. So it was easy. So faith, it wasn't really a test of whether I had faith or not, because I wasn't going through much. So I believe in Jesus. He woke me up this morning. He started me on my way. So I believed in him. And so I just kind of followed him. I didn't go say blindly, but I had no reason to doubt Jesus was who he was. And so he made it easy to be a follower. Then when I got older into my teenage years, I guess closer to the end of high school, going into college. It kind of got a little difficult. Church people started to look a little different to me. And I had to take a sabbatical. I had to take a break. Yes, I had to take a break.
I cannot breaking news. I know.
I stopped singing in a choir for a little bit. I was a pew saint. I'll take some Sundays off. I just didn't love church as I should, and that affected my relationship with God because I was just, baby, I had a time. I had transitioned from high school to college, and it just looked a little different for me. And I had to find my way back. It took a minute, but I found my way back. And
let me ask you this. So I think that's very common. My story is that I've been in church all my life. So when I was growing up and I went off to college, I went to college in Conway. It's like 30 minutes away, mm-hmm. but it was an opportunity for me to be like, well, what do I believe for myself? Like for real. And like, let me explore some different churches to see if there's something for me that's the better fit. And that's how I ended up coming to Greater 3-4. Because I just knew that was the place for me. But like you, I definitely, at that point in my life, I wasn't singing in a choir or anything. I just was kind of like, let me just go. Let me find some place and just go and just like be and kind of find myself. So I think that's really common. I'm going to ask you this question. You can decline if you want.
Go ahead.
So how did church people start looking different to you?
They were very judgmental, if that's the word. And it's still kind of common, but I'm older now. They look at young people differently. They don't have the same respect for youth in the church. And I kind of feel like I was beneath the older saints in the church, and I didn't like that, because if I'm doing everything, if I gotta pay tithes, if I'm doing my duties in the church, then I should be an equal. Yes, I'm younger, but it was a respect thing, and they was rude, they were mean, and it kind of hurt a little bit because I wasn't used to that. Because I've been in church my whole life. My church is a loving church. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So seeing that not so loving aspect of people was kind of a turnoff.
I bet, and I think it can be kind of like shocking when you're going from being a teenager to like trying to find your place, and like, I want y'all to respect me. I'm not asking you to bow down to me, but I'm a person. Like,
yeah,
you want me to respect you? Don't come at me.
Don't do that. Yes.
Y'all be careful.
I get that.
I see y'all.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Listen, because you was real close, sis. I saw you. In my mind, I feel like you picked the exact person in your head. Like, I feel like they feel.
The thing is,
because I know you know.
Because the thing is, I don't know what you're talking about. I could have made up a name, but then I might would have accidentally stumbled on something.
That's what I was saying. That's why I was like, careful now.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, I'm not even going to make up a name. That's why I said sister. Whatever, fill in the blank. But I definitely have had those experiences too in church. I remember specifically, I know this is your story. They like, why you keep telling your story and her story?
No, go ahead, girl.
I do remember specifically doing a play at church, right? I'm younger. I'm coming in hot off the press. The pastor's like, hey, I want you to do this play, because I was not volunteering at this point. He's like, I want you to do this play. Cool, cool, cool. There was so much wisdom in the church, so many older people that could have helped me, but I think they felt like I was taking their spot because that was something that they typically did. When I tell you, they did not help me at all till the week of the play. I mean, they did not help me at all till the week of the play. And then all of a sudden, especially on that Sunday, it was like lights, camera, action. What do you need? You know, pastor wants blah, blah. And you can't. And I'm like, we've been doing this for months. And I've been asking y'all, all of y'all, people that's looking at me cross-eyed for months. And now one of y'all lifted a hand until it was showtime at the Apollo. And now you want to be super helpful. So I can get where it's easy for them not to respect because it's the changing of the guard. So go ahead, brother.
I have a question. What do you think would have been the most helpful to you when you were younger to feel like the older people in the church respected you, supported you? Like, what would have been a tactic or something that they could have done that would have made it better?
Great question, brother. Now I'm gonna be quiet.
That is a good question. I guess kind of like just talk to me, know me as a person. Because it is a gap. You go from youth department to an adult. It's not a in between. It's not really a communication thing. It's well, right now I'm a youth, so you're talking to my parents, and then all of a sudden I'm a grown up, so it ain't no, there's no bridge. So I feel like if it's if we close the gap and make sure that we get to know the young people for who they are, it won't be as hard to transition and for people to respect you as a human. Because I've been in the church I've been in since I was a kid. And so now that I'm 28, you know, I had to let it be known, hey y'all, I'm a grown woman now, so watch your tone. And so it's just important that we close the gap because that's where the disconnect is between, you know what I'm saying? We don't listen to the youth. We just let them, they just there. There we talk to them when we need them to do an Easter speech or a praise dance. But other than that, it's just a little, they had their own little corner.
Are you doing anything to close the gap? A lot of it's funny as we're doing these random stories. God gave me Bridge the Gap, so it's basically a lot of what you're saying because that's what I want to do. Because I'm like, we don't talk to people. Y'all act like you've never experienced being 13, and I get in the Bible, Jesus went from 13 to 33, but there's a lot of
Go
other
then,
people
baby.
in terms of what they were saying. There are other places where we saw, like, we saw what Samson was when he was a kid to his older year. Like, there are examples of knowing somebody's life and the path that they took. Y'all just letting these kids out here be Samson and choose the world over God. And then at the end, when they finally choose God, it was like, you act like you did something. You didn't do anything because they could have been in purpose and changed nations and freed people, but you was like, Well, you know, they
You
got to
over
go
there.
through what they go through. So, yeah. So, what are some things that you have done to like to close that gap or bridge that gap, or have you had an opportunity yet?
Well, like when I got older, I chose to be in, very involved in the youth department. To, because I, like I said, it wasn't that long ago when I was in the youth department. So I chose to join a youth department and give them an example of what it looks like to transition. And last year, me and two other people, we started a young adult ministry in my church. And so that's from ages 18 to 34. And so it was a way to kind of transition the youth to go into adulthood. So now it's been kind of easy to talk to the older people or have a voice in the church. So now they know who we are, what we look like. Yes, we're here to help. Yes, we're younger, but it's still valuable. What can we do not only to serve our age group, but those older and younger than us? And so we just seen a little change, but we're still new, so we're trying to see how this goes.
Well, I'm excited that you had passion to get up and get out there. When me and Tamika were youth leaders, I would say I remember us speaking with a pastor about the fact that the older people just wanted, like, they would go up to the youth and be like, you dress too short.
Oh, but like,
ma'am, she's not buying her clothes right now. So, like, what are we going to do? Like, do you even know her name? Like, can you have a relationship with her? Not saying that you, because there's a way to correct somebody. Not saying that you shouldn't correct somebody. There's a way. But, like, y'all are so militant about this, and y'all don't know these kids' names. You're not thinking about them. I remember we had, like, I don't know, we had some kind of celebration at the church, and the tickets were, like, $50. Well, if you want the youth to be there, they don't have jobs. Right. So y'all don't want them to come? Like, do y'all care about the youth, or like, what are we doing here? Like,
yeah,
have to.
and I can't say it has gotten better. Like last year, maybe the year before, I don't know. We took a trip to Branson and we went to go see the Jesus play, and so we had to pay for a bus ticket and the actual play, and I think they did a really great job of trying their best to get the youth to come. You know, it would have just been all grown up. And so that made me happy to see, you know what I'm saying, them come together to make sure the youth was able to have that experience. Because a lot of our youth, they don't have all the privileges that some people have. And we be having to teach them a little something, because, baby, we had to tell them, don't wear sweatpants and Crocs up to the church on Sunday. Put your little dress on, little something. But they don't know, because until you're told, and you're told in a good way, you don't know. We know, because I grew up in a church, so it ain't no way my grandma was going to let me go to church in some sweatpants and Crocs. But right. Until you're told, you don't know that. And so it's all in your delivery.
It is. It's 100% in the delivery. And I think this is an important conversation for us to have, especially in light of how many people in your age range, and even in mine, that don't go to church because they are not, they are over it. And I think it's important for us to realize that we have a responsibility to treat everybody like they're human beings and give them a chance to learn and grow. You really do have to get to know people where they are right now. Not for where you want them to be. And I think you can, once you have relationship, you can help them see, you know, this is the way we need to go. But I think it's difficult to do without relationship. So would you say that you're naturally a leader?
Yes. Okay. Only because I like to control narratives and situations. It's really a strength and a weakness that I have. I'm one of those people, like, I see something that could be changed and I want to be the one to change it or to fix it. And I've always been just put into situations where I had to leave. Even when I didn't want to, it was kind of by default. And so I think I just, and sometimes I suck as a leader. I'm not lying, because I don't like to listen to people sometimes. You have to listen to be a leader. And so, yeah, it was kind of a task I didn't ask for. So I just learned to be a leader in different situations, church, work. I ain't gonna say it came easy, but it kind of did.
Okay, I'm gonna rewind a bit. I do have another question. So earlier when you were talking about your faith, you said it was easy, because as a teenager, I mean, really, what, for the most part, unless you have some kind of traumatic event happen, like, you can walk the line, right? So do you want to share, like, the first time you experienced, like, a testing where you really had to figure out your faith for yourself and it wasn't easy peasy? And
I think my first Exactly. I was still fairly young. I was in college. It's when I failed nursing school. I was in nursing school. And I failed nursing school. And I did not know, baby. I thought I was doing my best. I was studying. And I just felt defeated because I failed. And I went back, passed. Like, okay, God, this is what you're calling me to do. Now you didn't set me back up. I'm going back to nursing school. Then I failed again. I was like, Lord, what is it? I said, I don't know what to do. My whole life, I've been telling folks I'm going to be a nurse. But this is not what it's looking like. And I was devastated. I was sad. I was questioning what it was that God wanted me to do. I knew that I was supposed to help people because that has been my desire, my passion, my whole life. But I was like, man, this is ridiculous because my helping people is not looking like what I wanted to look like, what I thought God. So I said I had to sit back and I was really thinking. And at this point, I had no faith in what I was supposed to be doing. I was questioning whether God really sent me to nursing school or was this something that I chose for myself. I didn't know because, you know, in my mind, God didn't set me up to fail. And then I know he didn't want me to fail twice. So I was like beating myself up.
Right. You like, this ain't him.
I honestly did not understand. Yes, I was like, this ain't the God I know. Because like I said, it's been easy. I made good grades in school, in high school. I made good grades for my first few semesters of college. Like this ain't what I thought. But I didn't quit. I changed my degree. And I did health education for my degree. And I graduated. And so when I was doing that degree, I was like, okay, I like this. This is a different way of helping people. Let me try to see what I can do. And so I applied for jobs in health education. I just was not getting them. I was like, dang, like, okay, Jesus, now what is it now? Because I changed my degree. I fell in love with it. And now the same spot. I haven't moved. So I felt defeated again. And again, I'm like, okay, God, now you playing with me. Because I switched it up. I'm trying to stay focused. And I'm still not where I want to be. And I struggle with this because still, to this day, I am not where I think I should be with my job. And so I'm still at the same job I've been in now for almost 6 years. Like I said, I got a degree. I am qualified for this stuff. And I still can't get it. And so now my faith is still a little rocky because now I'm wondering, like, what it is that God wants me to do. And I have to remind myself that I have to trust God completely. And that's why I've been struggling with my career aspect because it's hard to know that you have put in all this work. And so with my job, that's really where I first seen my faith tested with school and my job. But then recently, y'all life has been life. Mm-hmm. I had my baby and I wanted 12 weeks off. Got the 12 weeks. My disability was barely paying me and he still made a way. I was able to be off my whole 12 weeks. I was able to move to my new apartment. I was happy. I said, okay, God, you did it. My faith is, I got some faith, is re-amped. I feel okay. But then them bills started knocking at my door. They was knocking hard. And I was not understanding because, again, I'm just getting back to work. I can't work no overtime. I am stressed out because this was my first time, like, by myself. I didn't have my mama.
Right.
And so I'm like, oh, these bills. And I was at work. And let me check this light bill. And Lord, I opened it up. And y'all, I cried.
Oh.
That light bill said $678.
Ooh, I would have cried too.
Right, girl.
I was in a panic. Oh God, I don't know what to do. I don't have this money, rent due. My baby gotta have a diaper. I just did not know what to do. I was crying. I called my boyfriend. I said, baby, the bill $678. And I was devastated. I didn't even think like God will provide. I that didn't come to mind because I was in panic mode.
Right.
And so I went to my supervisor. I was like, Cassie, this bill that popped up is this much. And she was like, hey, I think we can help you. It's a fund that the chaplains have, and they'll or give you money for the things you need if it's a serious situation. And I'm like, okay, I can try, because at this point I don't know what to do. Because it's either I try and they give it to me, or I try and I'm still gonna have to figure it out. So it was like a 5-page application, just questions. I filled it out. And I don't know, at that moment I felt like I filled it out and I faxed it, and I felt relief. Like I don't know. I just did not think about it no more. And my phone rang, and it was the chaplain. They was like, hey, will you put in an application, and we're going to pay your bill. Girl, I tell you about I fell on the floor. And she said, you put your account number on there with your light bill. Is it okay if we go ahead and pay it? Girl, I tell you, I said, you get, baby, I don't want to see the money. Because go ahead. And at that moment, several moments, but at that moment, like, because I was down guy in the first place, but at that moment, I was like, it's real. Like, your grace is sufficient. You are, you know, so you're my provider, even when I didn't know what I needed to do, what I was going to do. And so since that moment, and that was back in July, August, I have not worried about nothing at all. Like, that was my little faith booster, I guess.
That's a big faith booster.
I just have not worried about nothing, and that kind of made me like, okay, Kiana, now God has showed you again that he will provide, but you have to trust. And so now I'm trying to be on my journey to trust God completely. Been a little rough. Now, like, I'm working on my faith with tithes, and so that's my big chapter this year, my faith with my tithes. I got to give my 10%. I'm working on it because God, he keep on providing. And so I think that was my little light bulb to say, okay, you've seen it, so trust in God and keep going.
Trust in him and keep going, girl. I think one thing though, from to me, that stood out from your story is that you were willing to open up your mouth and tell somebody you had a need. Like, even if you were just venting, like, this is look at this. Yeah. And that person was able to get you to the right place. Because I'm a person, I can need it, but I'm not going to say nothing. So that's a good reminder for me to be like,
your ass, girl. Tell somebody.
Were you going to say something?
Yes. So a question of, because again, we're going to come back to bridging that gap and your desire in that way. What is something that you would tell your younger self? Or an encouragement you would give to your younger self, an encouragement you give to yourself today, an encouragement you want to give yourself for the future when God has brought a lot of these things to fruition in your life?
So I would tell my younger self, you will fail, and that's okay. I would tell my present self, let me see. Who would I tell myself, Lord?
My brother loves to ask the hard hitting questions.
I know, but it's a good question.
It's a good question, but I'm like, you don't have to ask me these questions offline so I can sit down and write it and pick it out.
Let me see. Present, trust and obey. Because I ask God things, and he shows me. He definitely shows me. And a lot of times I choose to ignore it. So trust and obey. And then future self, remember what God has brought you from and realize that he will do it again.
Amen. It's great to have a great guest that can come off the top of their dome. Because, baby, if I was a guest on your podcast and he asked that question, I'd be like, next question. look at how the Lord is providing. So we've kind of skipped over this. How did becoming a mother change your relationship with God, or did it? Was that like, because I've talked to people that have children, and quite often they talk about how it's changed their views and a relationship with God. So did it change anything for you? Like,
yes, it did. Before I had Carson, I had a miscarriage, and it threw me for a loop. A, because I didn't know I was pregnant, and I wasn't expecting it. So I told God, I told myself, when and if you ever decide to bless my womb again and give me a baby, I'm going to give my baby back to you. And so when I found out I was pregnant, I said, thank you, Lord, but my baby is going to be, my baby's gonna, I'm gonna give my baby back to you. And so when I gave birth to him, it was a horrible, horrible pregnancy. I had high blood pressure and diabetes. I had everything. So I was just, baby, I was sick. I was sick. Delivery was crazy. When I looked at my baby, I just cried and I said, thank you, Lord, because you gave me my, you gave me baby. You gave me what I asked for. And at that moment, I said, okay, I'm gonna give you back to God. So looking at my baby, it just gave me the desire to bring my baby up how I was brought up. I want my baby to be in church, not just to be there, just to, you know, because I made her go, but I want her to have the same love and desire to learn about God, to do his works. And so it made me want to be the example, made me want to be better in Christ. Even with her dad, when we got together, he didn't go to church. He prayed, but he didn't pray often. And I asked God, like, if this is the man for me, I want you to get him in church. I want you to build his faith. And God did exactly that. And so now we pray together. We pray with baby girl. We pray over baby girl. And it just, I don't know, that in itself just gave me so much. Oh, it's just a different kind of love. It made me want that for my baby. It made me want to show her that God can do anything. God can be there for you. He can fix your problems. But it made me want to be that leader to show Carson, like, I could take your day, okay, Carson, you gotta go to church. But it made me want to be a better person. Because, baby, I'll be out here kind of tripping, baby, because I cuss out the best of. But it made me want to be a better me for my baby so I can be that example. Because I'll be tripping. But Carson gave me the desire to be better. She did.
That's part of life. We all get it wrong. We all get it wrong, and we all trip.
You know, what's funny about your encouragement to your younger self is that's the encouragement, honestly, we need at all points. Is because that's not something that I think it's definitely not taught in the church in the way it should be, especially like as we talk about the gap, because they make it seem like we not supposed to, like I should expect failure from something. Like, you know, no matter what it is, because I'm not going to get everything right, even if it's in my purpose. Like, there's a lesson that or a journey or trial in the tribulation that God wants to put me through, that I may have testimony to free somebody from whatever they're going through. So I just think that was so encouraging, just because it's such a poignant thing to, like, the quicker you learn that you will fail, but it's not about your failures, it's not about your stumbles. And even when you were talking earlier about the clothing thing, I always think about, like, Jesus didn't walk up to the Samaritan woman and go, "Hey, go change." Like,
He didn't.
he didn't walk up to the blind man and said, you know, or the deaf or the sick, like, okay, but for real though, like, get some clean clothes, 'cause I can't do this. And we forget that so often, and we act so Roman or even Greek in the way that we interact with people. It's like, you know, how strict they were. Like, literally, people who believed in God during those times, they put in the Colosseum, like, to be fed to lions for people's entertainment because they believed in God. And it wasn't like, you know, well, you wasn't dressed right. So, you know, you dressed good. So, you know what? I'm not going to persecute you for believing in Jesus. And it's like, I don't know. We just got to be more open with each other. That was a random tangent, but that happens on this podcast. I do apologize.
It does, but I'm so proud of you for restraining yourself for so long. You've done well, brother. I can't lie. You've done very well.
Well, she's been dropping gems. She's been dropping them spiritual gems.
This has been a very good conversation. Is there anything you feel like you want to share that I haven't probed and dug out of you?
I don't even think so. Let me see.
Because, you know, I like to mind my business for the most part, so I don't like to dig do to me. But if somebody says something, I will ask. Now, I am nosy, but I like.
I don't mind people asking me questions. I'm really kind of open book, for real. I'm trying to see. I don't think. I don't know. I'm just excited to see where God takes me. You know, I'm gonna be a married woman in October.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, so I'm ready to see God together. And what my faith journey will look like as a wife. Because I'm pretty sure it's gonna look way different than it looks now. Different trials and tribulations to be had.
I anticipate that what you said is true. I think you are a prophet. And don't let nobody tell you you're not a prophet, girl. Because I anticipate that what you just said, that's a word. That's a word. But I think marriage is a beautiful journey, and I'm excited for you. It's crazy for me to think of you as a mother and a wife.
Hello. Because
you were just a young teenager. giggling your way through life, and now you got the whole fiance and a baby. That's wild.
Before we get too far from all this, y'all connections are something that are incredibly meaningful, and thus it means you have a story or two about someone that is very important to us. So I just want to know, do you have a favorite Tamika memory? And you know that, like I said, she is all over this podcast. That's why we say it's the most wonderful podcast of your day. So I just want to get that out there early. Well, it ain't early in this podcast, but still,
it ain't early, bro.
It ain't early, but still.
Do I have a favorite Tamika moment? I don't know. I loved her for her. She stood on business, baby. Tamika stood on business. I love her because she was her unapologetically. And she, I don't know, she rode for us, baby, to the wheels fell out. Y'all was not gonna mess with us, and she meant that. She did. It was just everything about her. How she took us under her wing, and how she took care of us. We was her little babies. It was 10 of us.
It was a whole lot of y'all.
She took care of us. Even when I was in college and she worked in the financial aid at EULA, financial aid office. Mm-hmm. And I would go up to a little cubicle and talk to a baby. She was just a great person. It was just I don't even know if I had just one story. It was just always a grand time when we was together. Grand time.
And it was good. I know my sister was probably a little like, ah, I wasn't even going. I bet you wasn't.
You know I wasn't. Because I don't never know how my emotions going to be from day to day and moment to moment. And do you want this podcast to continue, or you want it to get shut down?
I want it to continue. But I just, when there's an opportunity to talk about just how much of a servant she was for others. I just, you gotta ask, because that was,
you
just
know, I think it was a valid question, and that is why you are on this podcast, because you already knew I wasn't gonna.
Oh, I knew you weren't gonna ask, child. I just knew it wasn't gonna happen, but I had to, just because there are so many things that are tenets of what she would want for people, things she would be excited about, things that are so, you know, similar with her journey, other people's journey, that are, like I said, freeing. The thing about testimony, and the reason we are appreciative that you came and did this podcast with us, is because we are first never meant to do life alone, just in general. And that don't mean you got to be married and everything else. We just not meant to do life alone. We're meant to be in community with others, believers, non-believers, because you're supposed to be, you know, showing love to the non-believer and so on and so forth. So just having you speak your testimony, having you speak the truth of the life that God has lived in you, the moments where he spoke to you, the moments where he's told you, hey, you got to be patient. Or, hey, it's not going to be easy. You know, weapons are formed. It just says they won't prosper. They form.
Sure do.
They form. They
and
cut.
And that's good formation. Yes.
They be hurting. You know, they get a couple good licks in. It's just you got to go through the fight, you know. So, yeah, I'm very appreciative to that, to anyone who shares their testimony, because I know that there's somebody out there that's like, wow, I feel seen, or I feel like there's somebody else who was, you know, for the plethora of us that was 6'4" in church, like from daycare on and so forth. I was another child that was looking at the community like, well, why can I not have this snack? What's going on?
Yes.
Like, so we ain't ate for 5 hours and y'all just like, nah, like what is this? How we get in on this, man?
I think it's so important. You know, one thing, I say this all the time, but I'm so grateful that I sat down to talk with Tamika about her faith walk on the podcast, and not just in, I mean, because, you know, I knew her story because, girl, I'm living part of it with you. Right. But it's so interesting, the different things that came up while we were talking about her faith. And now that she's gone, it's good. It's good for me because I get to go back. I get to hear her voice. I can hear her laugh, and I get to hear her tell her story in her own words, which is why I want to talk to people, because I want your family, the people that know you, even people that don't know you, to be able to hear pieces of your story and parts of your story. And it will outlast you. It will live beyond you and really could help and bless somebody else. So I'm extremely grateful that you were willing to sit down and talk with us today, chitter chatter about faith. And that's why I asked you if there's anything that you feel like I left out, because I don't know your complete faith story. I don't know what you would be talking about. I'm not there, but you do. So I'm going to open the floor again. If there's anything like special, you feel tugging on your spirit, like, ooh, I need to say this before I get off here. Cause you did talk about the fact that when you talk to Kiana today, it's trust and obey. And quite often you will hear him say something and you'll be like, I ain't doing that. That resonates with me, because it's real to be living like that quite often.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm working on it. That has been my problem throughout life, though, because I'm one thing I'm gonna do is ask God for some, and another thing I'm gonna do is ignore exactly what he told me. And then I'm working on it.
But it's okay. my encouragement to both of y'all and all of us is, I don't like the term backsliding, but the only reason I don't like it is because it makes it seem like we are going backwards. We don't lose any of the things that God has given us when we're like correcting our ship or are truly repentant and we're walking towards those things. It is very discouraging when you're trying to doubt yourself every day and somebody got you thinking you done took 30 steps back. What's going to make you ever want to move forward? It's like, no, he wasn't like, hey, you took these steps on the water and didn't trust me. The thing he said was, like, remember who I am. He didn't say, nah, fam, you lost all them steps you took. It's like, why did you take your eyes off of me? Like, that was the thing. Like, it wasn't, you know, so you don't lose anything when you had these moments. So for both of y'all, where it's like, it's rough, it's disheartening in a lot of different ways. Because you're like, oh, I have sin. And it's like, we going to do that, though. That's, we valuable.
Yes, well, yeah.
We going to fall. It don't matter. Like, if you stop doing one thing, you going to find something else. Like, your flesh going to find whatever it is. Like, it could be, I had one more cookie than I told myself, and you on the diet. And, like, that one more cookie ain't really breaking your diet in your mind, but it's like you've stumbled or whatever it is. So my encouragement is always just don't forget that you, like, have done so much. You have changed. You are a new creature. You are, like, gaining experiences, gaining more testimony. You're not like, you ain't all the way back at the beginning. You can't never go back to the beginning because you still know Jesus and who died for the pardon of your sins. Like, you still know him. You still know the one that is there holding your hand in right and wrong, and he's gonna carry you on forward. So be encouraged by the fact that it's like, you ain't lost nothing. Like, when it happens, he's still going to give you more. And he gives us so much so that we don't have room enough to receive it. So how could you somehow lose all of that? It ain't money.
Right.
You can't spend his abundance. So that's all I want.
Ooh, say that again. Ooh, that was a word there.
Girl, he need to preach somebody's sermon in some church. Ooh. This is his this is pulpit.
That was good because I was just looking at my tablet and it was a question you had put email, and it was, have you ever doubted your salvation? And so I've never doubted my salvation because I know that God saved me, because I believed in that he died on the cross, that Jesus died on the cross. But I think as a human, like you said, we question our place in God because we do sin. We do things that we know that we shouldn't do, and we continue to do it. And so, and oftentimes, I had to tell somebody, like, we're never going to be a perfect Christian. There's no such thing. And it's okay that sometimes we slip and fall, but we have to get back up, and we have to be reminded that we are already saved. God already forgave us. And that's just a big thing that I be having to remember and tell others, because we just be ready to give up our Christian shield because we didn't do the sin. But God knows our heart. And you ask for forgiveness, it's a new day, new journey.
It is.
You start over again. So
I got a question and then another testimony that you done gave me with what you're saying. First thing is, there were people who were, when I think I probably said this in the last episode too, the people that were betting for his clothes, the people that were tearing flesh from his back, the people that put nails in his hands and so on and so forth, are the people that he died for. Mm-hmm. So if he gonna die for them, trust me, your sin ain't stopping nothing.
Amen.
As long as you are in relationship with him. Now, let me get that little caveat, because I ain't saying it ain't stopping nothing if you just did. Anyway, but the question, and I'm stealing this from my sister because I know this is where she was going to go. Where is your faith walk today? Like, how do you feel or where do you feel your journey is?
Right now, I'm trusting and believing. Now, what it's going to look like tomorrow, I don't know.
Yeah.
But today, I'm standing on faith and trusting and believing that he has a calling on my life. And I'm getting ready to step into it and live in where he wants me to live. So
I'm going to ask, what's your calling, girl?
Girl, I don't know. I just feel like I'm supposed to be out here. I mean, you know, it's our job anyway to lead people to Christ, but I feel like I'm supposed to be foot deep inside of it. Because I've done it my whole life. But I think I'm actually supposed to be sharing out loud the things that God has done for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, amen.
Unto them. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for being obedient today. This is a perfect opportunity for you to share
Yes, I told my cousin, I said, girl, Sarita called me and told me she wanted me on this podcast. I said, God is sitting here knocking on my door. I hear you, Lord. I wasn't ready, but I hear you. I hear you. I'm trying to be obedient.
Well, I say quite frequently, like, podcasting was not in my dreams, not in my vision, not in my goal, but I truly believe that it is something that he has given me, and it ain't something I, baby, listen. So I understand how you feel about the knocking, because I'll be like, you still here, huh?
But
look at y'all open the door.
But also,
yes, I'm gonna open the door, Lord. I'm gonna open the door.
Y'all are going to do way more work outside them church walls than you'll ever do in there.
Right.
And I promise
and
you.
And I think.
Like, and I mean everywhere. I'm not saying like, because God gave me this, let me say this real simple and succinct.
It's going to be long.
No.
It's going to be a sermon.
No.
I'm looking at the clock. Go.
Don't get caught up in creating a place where you think your purpose is going to flourish. Your purpose can flourish at your job. Your purpose can flourish at school. Your purpose can flourish starting a life group at home, in the grocery store. Your purpose is always with you. It is not designated to one place because God is everywhere.
He is everywhere. And I'm going to add a caveat to what you said. I think your purpose should flourish wherever you are.
Yeah.
Wherever you are. If you're in a grocery store, your purpose should flourish. Mm-hmm. There. So that's why I said, you know, podcasting, please, child. I want to be in the back, quiet, on mute. I'm not, don't pull me up there. But by the same token, like Kiana said, trust and obey. I want to do what you call me to do and what you purpose for me to do in this life. I want to live, like, I'm going to talk about Tamika, then I'm going to get off of it. But I feel like I think one thing that made it easier for me, I'm not saying it was easy, but one thing that made it easier for me when she died is I feel like she laid it all out. She left it out. It was not, she lived life and she did it passionately and loudly. And when it's all said and done, I don't want to have left anything on the table. And so, yes, it's uncomfortable for me, but I don't want to leave anything on the table. I want to live the life he gave me and do with it what I was supposed to do. Let me ask you this, and then I'm going to thank you so much for your time. We're very appreciative.
No problem.
If your daughter is listening to this, let's say 10, 15 years from now, is there one thing you think you will want her to know about you, about your life, about your faith journey that she can carry with her? And not just your daughter, your future children. You got you a whole husband coming up, and I don't know how many kids you plan on. It's going to be an army.
I don't want an army, Lord. Please, no army. Oh, that's a good question. Let's see. I would tell my baby that everyone's walk with God, with Jesus, is a little different. Don't compare yourself or limit yourself to others. What God did for me, he'll do for you. Stay focused and lean on to God's understanding, not your own, in your faith walk. Because once you start leaning to your own understanding, things get a little shaky, a little confusing. So keep your eyes stayed on Jesus and he'll help you up out of any situation. That's what I would tell her.
Amen and amen. Kiana, it has been a pleasure to see your face and hear your voice
and, this
and hear your story.
It's been your journey.
Thank you.
You're always welcome to come back anytime. If you feel like, y'all, I want to talk to y'all about this girl, just let me know. And I'm going to be like, what day and time? Come on here. You heard me tell you, honey. This, listen, anybody want to talk to me, please? Tell you,
I'm going to tell my friends to tell a friend.
Come on, guys. Let's talk about faith. I think it's so important because I think a lot of times we don't have those conversations in the church walls. And I think there's so much information and knowledge that y'all talked about earlier, bridging the gap. There's so much information and knowledge that we're not getting from the older generation and that we're not passing on to the younger generation. So I feel like this is the perfect medium to get it out there. But again, I love you and I'm so glad you said yes. I was like, Joe, I got one.
You did. You did. And I was like, all right, let's do it. So as always, remember that if you'd like to follow us on any of the socials, that is down in the description. Eventually, I'm going to get all these old episodes that y'all can't get access to. You can get them on the website at BibleStudyGirl.com. So any of the episodes that are not like on your personal streaming service, they are still available on the website, but we'll get them everywhere soon. It's just, or we'll get them somewhere eventually because I got some changes in monetary values and all kinds of things that I got to work out. Oh, Lord, as the Lord makes room for this podcast. And remember, it is not just I or you, but we preach.
And until we meet again, guys, keep preaching. Yeah.